with you tonight. Amen. I don't know if you noticed when Brother Eric got going there, I sort of sat back and I thought, that's good. Just keep going. Amen. Because then we're going to talk about water tonight. He was talking about water. Ezekiel chapter 47, we're going to read the writing here in the first 12 verses. Now, I do realize that this is talking in a future tense about what it's going to be like in the millennial reign whenever God comes here, Jesus is here, and he sets up his kingdom, and there's that temple, and there's going to be that river that flows out from it. But we can put some spiritual application for this, from this writing, into the way we are living today, into what God has for us today. So Ezekiel chapter 47, and to get the whole story, it's just better to read the whole story. It's the first 12 verses, and it's about a river that's flowing from the temple. There's a river that flows from within us. In a little bit of time here at the end, when I'm done here tonight, I pulled it up on my phone, the lyrics to it. We're going to sing at least a chorus of it. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Oh, come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. And we're going to talk about that river tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will guide us, you will help us, God, that we'll be God-inspired tonight on the words that we say, that it will lift us up, God, and help us to live better for you. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. And so, this is Ezekiel the prophet, and this is what he saw. Starting with verse 1 of 47. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the other gate, by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. They were to the loins, or to the thighs. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Then when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that every living thing that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything that live, and everything shall live, whether the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Igdai, even unto Iglam, and I'm saying those wrong, I know I am. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. And the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to the months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. And so you go back to this reading that I just did here. This flow of water that was coming out from the temple, it wasn't contained to the temple. It just wasn't for those that were in the temple. It flowed out from that temple. It flowed out from the altar of God. And it flowed outside the walls of the temple. And it's the same way for us today. The waters, the rivers of life, the moving of the Spirit of God that flows in the church house is not supposed to be contained just within the church house. It's supposed to flow outside of the church house, out into the highways and byways, as we like to say. And it will compel people to come in. And these waters bring healing. These waters bring deliverance. These waters bring what it is that people need. But if you look at these waters, you're going to see that they went out 1,000 cubits and they measured, and the waters were only up to the ankles. It didn't go. And the farther the water got away from the temple, the more powerful it became. And it was a healing water. It brought healing to the nations. It brought healing to the people. And this Spirit of God that flows, that God wants to flow out from the church house today, that's the effect that it should have upon this world. It's not to be contained within the church. This is a river. We're going to look at other scriptures that flows deep within us. And a river is something that moves and flows. That means there's water coming in. That means there's water going out. And with us, it means that the Spirit of God is coming in. And the Spirit of God is flowing out. Oh, we just came back from convention. Our hearts are so filled and so overjoyed with the power and the presence of God. But it's not meant for us just to keep it within inside of ourselves. Amen. God has meant for that to flow out from us into those around us, that it can have a good effect upon them. That's what this thing is all about. That's what God wants to do. But we, many times as believers, just think, oh, that was a wonderful blessing I received from the Lord. And we try to contain it within ourselves. That's not why God blesses you. That's not why you see and feel a manifestation of the Spirit within your heart and within your soul. Amen. It's because that water is in you. And we're going to look at the scripture here in a bit. And it's like a river, that it's like a river that flows out of our soul. It says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And if it's going to flow out of me, something has to be flowing into me. That's why it's important to be in God's house. That's why it's important to have that personal devotion with the Lord. That's why it's important, as Jesus said to the man to come and question him, to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your spirit, to give God your all. Because if you do that, there's nothing in this life that matters to you more than Jesus. And tonight, if there's anything else in your life that matters to you or is more important to you than Jesus, you don't have your priorities right. Amen. Our priorities need to be in Jesus. There's a scripture reference to it, but there's a song that was written. All of our hope needs to be in Jesus. It's in Him. My hope isn't in Wall Street. My hope isn't in my retirement account. Retirement's getting closer and closer every day for me. And that goes up and down. The amount goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. Who knows what it's going to be by the time I get to retirement. Maybe there isn't going to be anything there. But our hope needs to be in Jesus. We're talking about a living, powerful water. This isn't a dead water. You go over to Israel and visit, and I don't know the geography that well of the land, but there's a sea over there called the Dead Sea. And why is that a Dead Sea? Because there's water that flows into it, but there is no water that goes out of it. And it's a Dead Sea. They say it stinks. It's just not a good place to be. It has to have an outlet. And it's the same way for us spiritually. If the power and the presence of God is flowing into us and we're just overjoyed with the joy of the Lord and His power and His strength, and we feel like that we could run through a troop and leap over a wall, as the psalmist David said, we just feel overwhelmed by the power of God. But if we don't let that power of God out of us to minister unto others, we ourselves can become like a Dead Sea. And we stink. You might know of some older Christians. They're terrible. Their attitudes are horrible. They're growly. They're grumpy. They're grouchy. They never have a smile. They never have anything good to say. But they do say they love the Lord. They do say that they accepted Jesus. They do say and believe that they're going to heaven. That's because their experience has become stagnant. At one time, they were on fire for God. It was flowing through them. So we don't have to be afraid. When this power and presence of God comes in us and flows out of us, there's more where that came from. God will keep you filled up. Amen. That's what it's all about. What kind of a disciple would you have been if you would have been one of the 12 that Jesus chose? We would all like to think, I wouldn't be the Judas. But perhaps some of us would be the Judas. Would you be like Peter, James, and John? And if you study the disciples a little bit, there was 12 of them, but Peter, James, and John, and the scholars have said it this way, they were in the inner circle. They were closer to Jesus than any of the other disciples. They're mentioned often in the scriptures. It was Peter, James, and John that were there with Jesus. I think they were the ones that were on the Mount of Transfiguration with them. And Peter's the one that said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you on the water. They chose to be really close to Jesus. And the other ones were his followers. He doesn't say anything bad about them, but they weren't as close to Jesus as Peter, James, and John. How close to God do you want to be tonight? Do you want to be where we read this scripture here, and the first man went out and he measured, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were only to the ankles? Do you just want an ankle-deep experience with Jesus? Yes, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You might feel a chill going down your spine, but you don't want to get too involved in church activities. You don't want to get too involved in personal devotions. You're just on the fringes. You just feel it a little bit, but you're not really into it. That's where a lot of Christians are. And notice I said they're Christians, but God wants us to come in deeper. He wants us to draw ourselves closer to him. God doesn't stand there and put his hands up. A king can do that. We're told in history, when you went before a king, he had to raise that royal scepter. And if he did, you were welcome to come into his throne. But if he didn't raise it, they would take you out and do away with you. God's not holding up a scepter now, and he's holding it up and saying, don't approach me. Don't get any closer to me than what you are. I'm just a little fearful of you. I don't know what you might want from me. We're not serving a God like that. He doesn't hold up any scepter and say, don't come any closer. If anything, he's standing there. He's saying, come closer. Come up a little bit higher. Come and know me a little bit better. I want to know you a little bit better. That's the kind of God that we're serving. And so then they went out and measured 1,000 cubits more. Amen. Now, I don't know if they measured out 1,000 from the throne, and it was ankle deep, and then from where it was ankle deep, 1,000 more. I'm not sure exactly how that happened, but they measured again. The first time it went to the ankles, that's just a little bit of experience with God. And then they measured 1,000 more, brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. The waters were to the knees. We're getting a little bit closer. Man, the waters are to the knees. The waters are to the ankles. And this is just an illustration. And don't go out there and say to anybody, well, the pastor said your experience is only ankle deep. But I'm using this analogy. The analogy, the water's only to the ankles. You can only make it to church on Sunday morning. And you don't have any devotional time with God outside of church. You don't have any prayer time with God outside of church. I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but that's the extent of your experience. And then if you get into the knees, you're getting a little bit closer. Not only will you be in Sunday school on Sunday morning, you'll start coming out on a Sunday night once in a while. You're getting into the knees. You're getting a little bit closer. Amen. We sing that song, the move is on, my Lord, the move is on. You know, we got to move a little closer to where the stream is flowing. Move on, my Lord. Let's move on. Let's move out of here. We cannot become content in the place that we are right now. I hope that you are where you want to be in God, but don't be content to be there. That's almost contrary to scripture because it says to be content in whatever state that we're in. But that's talking about something else. I want to know God more than I know him now. Well, I have enough right now. I don't want to get any closer to God. And so those are the people. We're just using that analogy tonight. The water's up to the knees. And then he brought me another 1,000 in verse 4. And he brought me through the waters, and they were to the loins. And if we look at the loins, they were up to the waist. They're in waist deep now. It's like, you know, they're starting to experience a little bit. They're into the waist. They're doing the Bible studies that we do with the church here. We hand those out to the new converts or newer ones that haven't been raised. We'll stay in a Pentecostal church. And, you know, we're trying to teach them the way. They're into the waist now. Now it's getting through to them a little bit. Now they're opening up their Bible a little bit at home. And they're starting to read. The pastor said starting the book of John. So they're starting to look in the book of John a little bit. They're not doing it every day, but they're getting in waist deep. Now they're starting to come out to Bible study once in a while. Now they're never missing a Sunday night. They're there every Sunday morning. They're there every Sunday night. And now they're in waist deep. So they're drawing themselves closer to God. And they're finding out that it's good. And then we sing that song, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, it tastes like honey in the rock. The closer you get to God, the closer you want to get to God. It's not a situation. Have you ever met somebody and you thought, I would like to get to be closer to them, to know them a little bit better? And then you did whatever you had to do to get to know them a little bit better. And then you were like, oh, they're not what I thought they were. And you put the brakes on and then you just back out from wanting to get to know them better. I can guarantee you that will never happen with the Lord. You get in there, you get to know him and a little bit better and a little bit better. And there's something that just wants to make you go a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper. And so these people, the water was up to their loins. And then he measured again another 1,000. And it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And I like to say this, that's because we're to the point, we're just immersed in Jesus. That song we used to sing, I don't think we sang it here in a long time, wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. You even know that song? I'm wrapped up, I'm tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. I'm wrapped up and I'm tied up and I'm tangled up with God. And I love it. I don't look at it as though I'm in some kind of a bondage and I can't go out and enjoy the things in the world. God's a good God. He'll still let you enjoy some of these things in this world. It's the world that he created for man to enjoy. But we're into the waters. We're immersed in him. It's all about Jesus. And back in the 70s, they had this saying that went out. If I say it now, some of you might not have ever heard it. But they said, oh, those ones there, they're radical. They're Jesus freaks. Anybody ever hear that terminology? A Jesus freak? Sherry shaking her head, yes. I want to be a freak for the Lord. If that's what the world wants to call me, that's okay. I want to be immersed in him. It's all about him. I'm thinking about him. I'm praying. And now I'm going to church every Sunday morning. I'm going every Sunday night. I'm going every Wednesday night. When you have prayer meeting the first Monday of the month, I want to be there. In fact, I'm wondering why the pastor doesn't have more services down at the church. I can't wait for the next revival meeting. I can't wait for the next fellowship meeting. I can't wait for the next camp meeting. There's just something burned. There's a desire burned in my heart to want to be in God's house in the presence of other Christians and believers. That's the way that this thing works. And I want to be that wrapped up in Jesus. I want to be wrapped up in him. Amen. And so these people, as I said, now they're praying every day. They're reading their Bible every day. Now they're learning to listen to the voice of the Spirit. And God is beginning to talk to them, saying, hey, go over to so-and-so's house. And you get there to knock on the door and it says no solicitation. And then you're going to think, oh, maybe that wasn't God talking to me. No, it probably was God talking to you. You learn to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to breathe in the Spirit. You're just living in that place so that you can be an asset to the kingdom of God. Amen. And you can help there be growth in the kingdom of God because you're just wrapped up, tied up, and you're full of the power and the presence of God. Amen. That's what God wants to happen with every one of us. He wants us to get into that place where that our spiritual experience, it becomes like a river and it becomes waters to swim in. I'm just lost in Jesus. I'm lost in God. And some people might look at you at that point. You may have heard this expression before. They're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. That's okay. Amen. If people would talk about you that way, if people would talk about me that way, because that's what it needs to be. But we decide. You can swim in these waters. You can just go in ankle deep. Now, the swimming experience. You ever see anybody? You probably have. You see people go swimming. Some people, when they go swimming, they come over and they'll just put a toe in the water. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, and there's some people, spiritually speaking, they just put a toe into the experience. Oh, that's pretty bitter. That doesn't feel too good. And then you have those people that are experienced swimmers. They might want to test the water a little bit with their hand, but what do? They just jump in. Off of a rock, off of a diving board, off of a rope, depending on what kind of situation you're in. They just immerse themselves in that water. What kind of an experience do you want to have with God? I just want to try it out a little bit. Get it up to the ankles. Get it up to the knees. Oh, that felt real good. Get it up to the waist. Oh, that feels pretty good. But then to take that final plunge. Naturally speaking, if you're learning to swim, it's not easy. It's scary. And spiritually speaking, it can be the same way. You can be in up to your ankles. You can be up to your knees. You can be up to your waist. But to totally plunge into this God thing, It can be a little unnerving. It can be a little scary because you don't know what to expect. You don't know what might happen. But if you do that naturally in the waters, then you go in and then you feel good. And it's like, this is okay. We can do this. Same way spiritually. God wants us to swim in those waters. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. The water sets us apart. The water that flows out from the throne of God sets us apart. There's a cleansing, a washing by the word. Ephesians 5:26, you can look that up on your own. There's a cleansing that comes within us, a washing of the word of God. That's why the enemy of my soul and your soul does not want you to get into the word of God. He will tell you it's nonsense. He will tell you you can't understand it. He will tell you you need to use this translation or that translation. And they'll try to get you into something that really isn't a translation that God has given men, but it will be man's translation. And it'll just add to your confusion. But there is a washing of the word that happens. In this story that we looked at in Ezekiel, this vision that Ezekiel had, this water here is flowing out from the altar into Israel. It was for the benefit of the whole nation. It was for the benefit, we'll say, of the whole world. And so today, God's word is flowing from the true church into, it's flowing out from the church in many different ways. The word of God, the water of the word of God is flowing out from this church today via Facebook Live. It's flowing out into this world, and it flows out in many ways. Amen. By word of mouth, when you go out and you tell others about the goodness of Jesus, about the word that you heard shared at church last night, that water is flowing out, and the word of God is flowing out from the true church today. Amen. I don't want to quiet down the word of God. Hebrews 10:22, they were washed with pure water. Amen. What was washed with pure water? Our body and our conscience. We must present ourselves to God. We must be clean. We must be vessels fit for His use. Many people will say, God isn't calling me to do much. Maybe you're not ready. You can go out your own power and ability, and you can attempt to do many things for God. But you'll come back with your tail between your legs. You'll come back defeated because you didn't go out in the power and the might and the spirit of the Lord. And so we have to be washed with this pure water that flows out from the throne of God. Amen. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him. And our conscience needs to be cleansed. And we can present ourselves to God clean. That doesn't mean, don't think this. Well, I got to go get out and get cleaned up first, and then I can present myself to God. There are sinner people that have somewhat of little knowledge of the word of God, and they know some of the things they are doing do not please God, and they think if they're going to come into a church or accept Jesus as their Savior, that they have to clean their life up first. You can't clean your life up first. You don't have the power, you don't have the ability, you don't have the wherewithal to do it. I don't care how many 6 or 7 step programs you go through, you can't do it in your own ability. You need the washing of the water of the word of God to cleanse you, to clean you up. And so then you can present yourself as a vessel unto the Lord, fit for His use. God's looking for vessels today to do different things. There's different tasks in this area right now that God wants done. And He's searching through Cain, and He's looking for a vessel that is fit for that job, that is fit for that task. I want to be on that shelf, and the vessel's all shined up and sparkling and ready and good to go. And there's a task that needs done, and God can call upon me and say, hey, you, I want you to do thus and so. Many times God doesn't call us to do thus and so because we're not ready. And then we got to prepare ourselves to be ready to do what God wants us to do. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. I'm going to read those. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. This was Jesus. He was there at the last day of the feast. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. And then you go down to the next scripture. We'll read that. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And that was the situation there. But it says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It doesn't say, if you believe in Jesus Christ, out of your belly might flow rivers of living water. There's a possibility that there's going to be something flowing out of you that can help this sin-dried, sin-darkened, sin-parched world. Perhaps there'll be something here. It doesn't say that. It says, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. God wants to flow through us. Do you thirst for more of God? Amen. We are that river that God flows through. Jesus isn't here in the flesh today. We are the river that he flows through. There could be a drought that can come. And what can a drought do? And we had one in Pennsylvania this year. A drought can dry up a river. A drought can dry up a river, but the ocean is always going to have water. It's never going to be dried up. But amen. And what's the analogy I'm getting out of that? Our God doesn't have limits. We need to learn to flow in the Spirit. Flow with the Spirit of God. Flow with the Spirit of God. Know when God's speaking to you. Know that God wants you to do this. It can just be something small. It might be a handshake. It might be a smile. It might be a word of courage, encouragement. It might be a word of, how are you doing today? No, really, how are you doing today? And that can open other doors. In Jeremiah chapter 2, and we're going to be done here soon. Don't get nervous. In Jeremiah chapter 2, there were some people here that was trying to do something. And some of us are like this. That water isn't in us like it should be. Why is it? Let's read 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And there's many Christian people today that are not holding the Spirit of God. What's the two evils that they committed? They forsook God. The fountain of living waters. Don't forsake God today. Realize that all that you do for Jesus is because of him, and it's him just working through you. It's not you that's doing it. And so these people, they go out and they cut out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's whenever men start going out and just doing kind things. We as a church, and he spoke about it at camp or at the convention just a little bit, made a reference to it. We could fill this church up in a heartbeat. We could fill it up in a heartbeat, but there would have to be some compromise that would go with that. We'd have to lift the little bit of a standard that we have in the Word of God. And in essence, in reality, we would have to not acknowledge everything that the Word of God is saying, and we could come up with some programs and things and gimmicks, because that's what they are, and get entertainment in here and things. And this church isn't that big. I think if we're filled, there's only like 65 seats back there. It wouldn't take long. We could fill this place up. But that's what these people do that have these broken cisterns. Then they go out and try to do it in their own might, their own ability, and it comes to naught. It comes to naught. It's falseness that goes on. In Jeremiah 17:13, we're already in Jeremiah. This is the last scripture that I have to share here tonight. It says this, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Don't forsake the Lord. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that in the last days, that there's going to be diverse kinds of spirits. There's going to be doctrines of devils. There's going to be doctrines that come out that sound right to our ear. And it's going to catch our attention. And we're going to want to go in that way. And if we go in that direction, what we're doing is we are forsaking the fountain of living waters. We want to come back to Jesus. We want to come back to God. I need God to fill me up. I don't need some program to fill me up. I don't need some 7-step program on how to fill my church up to go through that to do it. I need that fountain of living water to flow through me. And as we started this out tonight in Ezekiel's vision, it flowed out of the throne of God, out of the temple of God, and it went out into the land, and it brought healing to all nations. And we can look at that at closing tonight. Ezekiel chapter 47 is where we were. Ezekiel chapter 47, I like that part of it. I didn't make any mention of it. But where these living waters flow, there's going to be nothing but good things that happen. And it says down in verse 8, and he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, down into the desert. They go down into the dry place. They go into the sea. which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, whatever this water comes in touch with, there's going to be life that is breathed into them. Yeah. That's the way it is with God. This living water, those rivers of living water that are within us, when they flow out of our belly, it's going to cause there to be life wherever they go, whatever they're touched. There's going to make a difference. There's going to be a change. The Word of God says His Word's not going to go out. We don't send God's Word out and it comes back empty. There's no result from it. This Word that we have, that you have in your lap, that you're holding tonight, this Bible, this is living Word. This is true Word. This is God's Word. And this thing really works. Wherever these waters go, they're going to be multiplied. It says that they shall live, and there'll be a very great multitude of fishes. And I like to say there'll be a very great multitude of souls that come into the kingdom of God. When we look over in the book of Acts, and we've been studying that in Sunday school, they were letting them rivers flow through them, and there were lots of people that were added to the church in a couple of different places. I know for one for sure, maybe a couple, that it says in one day there were 3,000 souls added to the church. 3,000 people at one time gave their hearts to God. Why did they give their hearts to God? Because of some gimmick and some program, and they were handing out free clothing, or they were handing out a turkey to everybody that came into the temple. It was nothing like that. It's because there was a living water that was flowing through Peter and John, and when it went out there, whatever it touched, there was a stirring, there was a moving, and there was a shaking. And that's the way that God wants it today. And so from this scripture that we read in Ezekiel, we can see that the flow of water from the temple represented the Word of God to the nation. God today is inviting His people to get into the flow. We represent God to the nations. We represent God to this world. Most of the people that you come in contact with tomorrow, sad to say this, they are not going to be able to, that some of them won't even remember the last time they were in church. And if you talk to them about their religious experience, it's going to be pretty sketchy. Most people have no knowledge. It's a sad situation, but this water is flowing within us. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We're going to sing this chorus here, but we'll at least sing the verse of it. There is a river, and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. That's what it's all about. I'm not out there to make people's lives better. I'm not out there to make their life better. They come into God so that God can bless them. I'm out there so that people's souls can be freed from sin. And then it said, so come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river. And here's the kicker. It never runs dry. It never runs dry because it flows out from the presence of God. Amen.